All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have a pen or an ink pen, if you would get that out and maybe make some notes, or maybe if you got a piece of paper to write a few notes down on, that would be as good as well. Maybe underline maybe a word or two here and there in this chapter, because there are a lot of important points that we're going to find here as Paul deals with a problem in the church. Now, whether people want to admit it or not, all churches have problems. This church has problems. Now, some are greater than others when it comes to different type of churches, but the reason our church has problems is because we walked in it this morning. And when you get people in a church, and you're always going to have problems. Now, sometimes preachers may make reference, and they may even talk a little bit about some of the problems that they encounter in a church. Other times preachers may say, as far as they know, they don't have any problems in their church. Well, that's a little misleading, because we as members of this church were sinners, and because we are sinners, we have problems. There's nobody in this room this morning that is perfect, so we have to realize and understand that churches have problems, and I believe that this is one chapter that is going to really pinpoint one of the major causes of all problems in the ministry of God. Even Paul faced a lot of different problems in the church as well. He's going to address that this morning, and I think it's not just one thing you can point a finger at and say that's the problem, even though he's going to start off the chapter here identifying the major cause of most of the problems that he's facing in the churches of his day. And I believe that we could easily say that it's carried over even to the day and age that we live in. And let's look at it. Verse number 1, he starts off and says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." Now, the word carnal there means fleshly. A lot of the church members are having a problem because they're still living a lot of their life in the flesh and not in the Spirit of God. Now, if we're ever going to have success in the ministry, we've got to learn how to live in the Spirit of God. We've got to learn how to allow our life to be controlled by God. We have to learn how to allow the Holy Spirit of God to guide us and to lead us and to help us in our life as we serve God. Because in our service to God, we've got to work with people, and it's not always easy. And we find here that Paul is addressing one of the problems here, and he even closes out the verse in describing the people in the church that he was having problems with. He says, "Even as unto babes in Christ." So one of the main problems that Paul was facing is there were a lot of believers, I'm talking about saved, born-again people in the church that were not growing spiritually in their life. And Paul, he even calls them basically babies. They were spiritual babies in Christ. They've been saved, they're on their way to heaven, but they never have grown past that point. Now, once a person gets saved, that's when a person needs to start growing in Christ. We need to learn how to become more like Christ. And it is a process that takes place in the life of a believer. A person doesn't get saved and automatically know everything about God and how they're to act and how they're not to act and how to treat people and how to work and how to get along. That doesn't automatically come when you get born again. It is a process that takes place after salvation, when a person starts to grow spiritually in their life. Now, Paul had a problem in the church here because many of them have never grown past the day they were saved and born again. You'll find here that he said, I really can't speak to you like I need to. I need to actually be able to progress past this point. But Paul says, but we're still in the baby stage here. You've never grown. And you're not learning, and you're not applying, and you're not growing as a believer like you should. Now, the principles have never changed, even from the time of Paul. For instance, Brother Richardson being our pastor, all he can do is get up and open up God's Word, read it. He can teach it. He can preach it. He can discuss it. He can challenge us. He can tell us what's right, what's wrong, what the Bible says, and what it doesn't say. And he can instruct us, but when it comes down to it, it's all up to us as an individual to take what we learn from God and put it to practice in our daily life. He can preach until he's blue in the face, but you know what? We can still walk out the doors of this church and do what we want to do with our life. And if we want to live carnal, if we want to live according to the flesh, if we want to do what the flesh wants to do, and if we give into that and allow our flesh to have victory from day to day, we have that choice. Our pastor can't come to our home and make us live right. He can't make us do right. He can't make us make right choices. He can't make us grow. All he can do is try to challenge us and teach us how to live a victorious Christian life for God. But you have the choice. Now, I believe in studying the life of Paul, Paul was a good godly man. I think everybody would agree with that. I think he was a very intelligent man, a man that was very close to God. He may have been one of the better teachers of his day and age. But it doesn't matter how great of a teacher you're going to find as we read through this chapter. It doesn't matter how great of a preacher you may be. You can't make anybody grow spiritually in the ministry. It's our choice. One of the biggest failures of our churches of today is a lack of spiritual maturity. Paul even admits in verse number 1, there's a lot that I'd like to teach you. There's a lot that I'd like to preach unto you, but Paul didn't feel like he could because they wouldn't accept it. I mean, they haven't even got the ABCs down yet. I mean, they can't count to 10 spiritually yet. And because of that, he can't build on that. That's just like in any learning environment. You take school, for instance. You take math. You can't take a first grader and teach them calculus. You've got to teach them how to count to 1 to 10 and 1 to 20 and 1 to 100. You've got to teach them how to add and subtract. And how simple that seems unto us, but to a young child, adding and addition and subtraction is not easy unto them because they've got to learn the very basics first. Before they can ever get to calculus, they've got to learn division and multiplication and algebra. And there's a lot of other things they've got to learn, and it all kind of stands upon itself. You got to build a strong foundation first, and then you build upon that. That's why we always challenge young people: make sure you pay attention today, because everything you learned yesterday, you're going to need it tomorrow, and it all builds on top of each other. And that's the way it works spiritually. And Paul says, we haven't gotten past the baby stage of being a believer. You're still carnal. You're still fleshly. You're still living. And what that means is they were living their life according to the flesh and what the flesh wanted to do. Now, I'm just going to tell you right up front, in the Christian life, there are things that a believer cannot do according to the Word of God. Now, people don't like to be told that, but I promise you, as you study God's Word, there is a lifestyle that God expects His believers to follow. And what's great about it, it's all the same plan for everybody. God's Word doesn't change for any select group. It doesn't change for any individual. I mean, God's Word is for everyone. And God, and Paul says here, he calls them brethren in verse number 1. He says here, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." Now that's a sad, sad note when Paul says that I can't get very deep spiritually with you because you're not strong enough, you're not mature enough, you're not developed enough yet for me to get past the little beginning stages of preaching and teaching unto you. He says, "But unto you as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So he classifies them as a babe in Christ. Now everybody this morning is in a classification. We don't like to use classes, but this morning we're either, since the day we've been born, I mean, have we grown? Have we matured? Have we become what Christ wants us to be? Or are we someone this morning that's still a babe in Christ? Sometimes it is amazing to me of how babyish believers can be. I mean, just a real small things will offend them, or they'll get mad, or they'll get frustrated, and it causes problems in the work of God. Now, the work of God always goes forward when the believers are going forward in life. as we grow as believers, and as we grow as believers in this church, then our church can develop into what it needs to be for Christ. But it all hinges on us on whether or not we're growing spiritually like we ought to grow. He goes on in verse number 2. He says, I have fed you with milk. And it's interesting, he's tying it into verse number 1 where he ended out talking about how they're babes in Christ, or they're babies if you would. And Paul says in verse number 2 here, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Kind of like the growth stages of a baby. I mean, you don't take a two-day-old baby and feed them T-bone steak. You have to give them milk. They have to have something that their body can digest physically. And Paul is using that example as a spiritual application here, and basically said that I fed you with milk. I fed you the very basics of the Christian life. I mean, we're still at the very beginning stages of development in a person's life spiritually. And what I have taught you, Paul says, and what I have preached unto you here is the milk, he says here in verse number 2, with the milk and not with the meat. And then he goes on in verse number 2 and says, for hereunto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. That's the problem that we find here with the believer. They're still on the milk of the word and not the meat of the word. They haven't progressed. They have not grown. They have not matured. And Paul basically says you're a church of babies because you have not matured spiritually in your life. I'm still having to teach you the milk of the word. I'm still having to teach you ABC, 1, 2, 3, spiritually in life. Because you as a believer, he says to the church here, has not grown and has not developed. Now, when believers do not grow and when they do not mature, guess what happens to the work of God? The work of God is hindered based on a believer. Things weren't progressing like they ought to, and Paul was struggling with trying to help them and teach them here. They weren't growing spiritually. And, you know, some people, they never grow spiritually because they allow their flesh, if you would, and the fleshly natures of life to override their spiritual nature. And when you feed the flesh more than you do the spirit, the flesh will always win. And believers get frustrated, and they get angry at themselves, and they get aggravated, and things just aren't quite working out, and I go to church, but yet I have all these problems. And so what happens is their flesh, it grows, but spiritually, they're still little babies in Christ. And when that happens in the life of a believer, you're going to have problems in a church. Most all church problems come from babies in Christ, if you would. Now, I'm not even considering maybe lost people that may even actually be in the membership of a church, but all church problems always come from immature believers in Christ. Mature believers are able to work through problems. Mature believers are able to work with people. Mature believers are able to understand things a little bit better spiritually. And so that's why it ought to be everybody's goal this morning to grow spiritually in their life, because when we grow spiritually, then the church grows spiritually, and when the church grows spiritually, things go in a right, positive way for God. Is everybody with me so far? So Paul here identifies the problem. They got a problem in the church. The problem is you've got believers been saved for a long period of time. They have not developed. They have not grown. Paul's not able to give them all that he wants to be able to give them in his preaching and his teaching because they're not able to withstand it. He'd like to unload a lot more on them, but they probably would cave in under that teaching because they would feel like they can't do it or it's impossible or whatever the problem may be. And I'm kind of reading into maybe what some of the problems might have been. But Paul says, man, I'm wanting to move way past this. I mean, we should be way down the road of spiritual development, but we're still back at the starting point of their spiritual life, and they have not grown. And because they have not grown, they got problems. So he moves on. You'll find here in verse number 3, for ye are yet carnal, means they're fleshly, they're worldly, if you would. They would be the type of members that, you know what, you really can't tell whether they're saved or lost. I mean, their lifestyle doesn't dictate that they're saved. The way they act, the way they live, the way they conduct themselves was very fleshly, very carnal, very worldly, if you would. And he says in verse number 3, "For ye are yet carnal." Now, let me stop here and say this real quickly. As a believer, we're always going to battle sin. There is no point where you get beyond sin in life. We're all sinners this morning. But we have to also understand that as a believer, there are avenues through the Word of God and the practice of the Word of God to help us to develop and grow spiritually and become more like Christ. But he says here in verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you," here's some problems we're finding in the church, he says, "there's envying in the church, there is strife," he says, "in the church, there are divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" So we find in verse number three some of the evidence of the problems in the church, and how did this come about? How is it that they've got envying in the church, and they've got strife in the church, and they've got divisions in the church? How is that? Because they are spiritual babies. They have not matured. They have not grown. Now, if the membership would have grown spiritually, and if they would have matured into what God had for them, they would not have all these strifes, divisions, and envyings inside the church. Now, when a church is full of envying, strife, and divisions, you're not going forward as a church. And many times the work of God falls short, not because of God, but because of the membership. The reason that we fall short is because we allow strife, envying, divisions in the church. That comes about because spiritually we're not where we ought to be. We haven't matured and haven't gotten beyond that, and so we're struggling with these very small little things here. Now, I read here in verse number 3 where it talks about envying and strife and divisions. It sounds like third grade. Sounds like what some of our teachers struggle with, with young people and young children, young kids. But Paul says, hey, he called them babies. They're not babies. They are full-grown adults that are struggling with what little children would struggle with. And the reason they're struggling with it in the church is because they have not grown spiritually. So Paul says, here's the reason we've got the problems here. The reason we've got verse number 3 here is because you have not grown spiritually. "For while one saith," verse number 4, "I am of Paul," and another, "I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" And what's verse number 4 saying? Well, here was one of the other big problems they had in the church. You had part of the church that were big believers and big followers and big fans of Paul. You also had another group that they were big fans and big followers and very happy with Apollos. And they felt like that if you weren't part of their group, you were wrong. And if one felt like you weren't of Apollos, you were wrong. Or if one felt like you weren't of Paul, you were wrong. And so there was a division also in the church because there was half of them that were big promoters of Paul and some were big promoters of Apollos. So it created a problem of, it's amazing here how Paul is going to go along with this process here of these two different preachers and how that some like this preacher better than this preacher and who's right and who's wrong here. And so Paul, and by the way, and I don't know if this was true, I was reading in a commentary, most people say that Paul had been working with these people for 18 months and they never have grown. He's given them about a year and a half to grow, and they've never moved forward in any point of their spiritual life for 18 months. Paul is frustrated here. You've got these divisions. You've got strife in the church. You've got divisions in the church. You've got envyings in the church. And now you've got this division among the church that this group likes this preacher, this group likes this preacher, who's right, who's wrong. So Paul noted here some points here about this. It's pretty amazing here. Let's go down to verse number 5. It says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" He says in verse number 6 here, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Pretty amazing kind of scenario here that Paul gives us here. Paul says and claims that he was the one that planted, talking about he was the one that actually planted the seed in the heart of the lives of the people there. And some of them, they may not have trusted Christ right off the bat, but it was Paul that kind of broke through a little bit in their life, and maybe they opened up and listened to Paul and what Paul had to say and preach and teach, and he planted a seed in their heart and in their mind. Apollos came behind him. He preaches and teaches as well, and it's like he poured some water on that seed, but Paul says, and make sure everybody understands, but it's God that gave the increase. Very important that you underline that. It's always God that makes a change in the life of a person. There has never been a preacher that has ever saved anybody. Only the Lord. Preachers can preach. Preachers can teach. Preachers can love. They can have compassion. They can instruct. They can help. They can motivate. They can do all those things, but it's only the Lord that makes a change in the life of a believer. Now, you can take it for what it's worth here. I personally believe here that Paul was a little bit upset with them, that they were putting so much emphasis on the preacher and not the Lord. This one group, all they wanted to talk about was Apollos. You got this other group, all they ever wanted to talk about was Paul, and I think Paul is saying, whoa, let's stop right here. Where's the group that cries out and gives all the credit to the Lord? Paul didn't save anybody. Now, he can plant some seed, but he can't save. You see, Apollos can come along and he can pour some water on that seed, and everybody knows that he's using an example of farming here. And how that you got to put somebody's got to put the seed in the soil. Now, if you don't put the seed in the soil, it's never going to grow. Then somebody's got to plant that seed. And Paul says, also, you've got to have some water. But you can put seed in the ground, you can put water on it, but you need to fully understand, he says here, that it's the Lord God Almighty that gives the increase. I was studying just a little bit about Paul and his style, and I was reading some commentary a little bit about both these preachers here. We find that some of them preferred Paul. We find in the church that some of them preferred Apollos here. You'll find here that Apollos, in studying a little bit, from what I gather from commentary about him, he was a very dynamic type of a speaker. Some and most believe Paul was not that style. That Paul was, some believe that he had, and I don't know how you can come up with this, but some believe that he had a little bit more of a squeaky type voice. Many believe he was a small man. He had some non-desirable traits about him as a preacher. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have a squeaky voice. It doesn't matter if you have a dynamic voice. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is that we understand it's God that makes the change. It doesn't matter if you get up and deliver the message or a lesson or a sermon with a squeaky voice or a bass voice or a high tone voice. The voice of the person giving the message doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the message this morning. Paul here was yet now addressing this other problem they had in the church. Not only do they have divisions, and not only do they have strife, and not only do they have worldliness, and not only do they have envyings in the church, you've got a division. They're divided. One group says you got to be of Paul, and one group says you got to be of Apollos, and Paul says none of you are right. You need to be of God. He uses this example about one that plants, one that waters, but only the Lord can give the increase. So does everybody understand where Paul's at here? A very easy chapter to follow, a very easy chapter to understand as Paul addresses these problems in the church. Now, we're going to go further here, and Paul's going to extend it now, and he's going to turn his attention to preachers here for a few minutes in this chapter. But hey, please don't lose sight here of the problem. The problem goes back to the beginning of the chapter. The reason we've got all, the reason they're divided on Paul and Apollos is because they're babies in Christ. They never have matured. They never have grown. The reason they have strife in that church is because they were babes in Christ. They still have not grown. If it's 18 months, and if we want to, most Bible scholars believe it was about 18 months later when Paul gave this, maybe that's true, maybe it's not. I know a period of time has gone by, and I think Paul's been very gracious with them and allotted them a long time to develop, and they're not developing, and Paul's frustrated. The church is frustrated. The work of God is frustrated, all because people, members, believers, if you would, will not grow spiritually. You know, we can attribute a lot this morning of why people does not grow spiritually, and we can point fingers. We can blame everything under the sun. We can blame the pastor. We can blame the Sunday school teacher. We can blame the church. We can blame the church members. We can blame the deacons. We can blame the school. I mean, we can point our fingers at everything we want to, but listen to me, dear friend. Listen very, very carefully. If you're not growing spiritually, it's because of you. I said it's because of you this morning. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the school's fault. It's not Sunday school's fault. It's not anybody's fault but yourselves if you don't grow spiritually. I don't want to sound ugly this morning, but you can grow spiritually despite your Sunday school teacher. You can grow spiritually this morning despite the Christian school or the school teacher. You can grow spiritually this morning despite the pastor, despite the song director, despite the deacons. It does not matter. If you do not grow spiritually, it is your fault and no one else's. You know, we live in a society where everybody wants to blame everybody else. It's their upbringing. It's where they live. They lived in poverty, or they lived here, or they lived there. Doesn't matter, dear friend. Everybody has the same opportunity to grow as anybody else in this room this morning. There's not a soul in this room that does not have access to the Holy Spirit of God as a believer. As far as I know, this morning, everybody in this room has a Bible this morning. In fact, if we really got down to it, we probably own many Bibles. So if you don't grow, it's your fault. You're going to find Paul is going to dive off into this, especially with preachers. So we've got this problem. They're not growing spiritually. They're still very immature. They're still very fleshly, carnal, worldly in their life. They haven't developed in the way they ought to develop. And Paul's upset with them, and he's frustrated with them. And I believe the members are frustrated. They've got divisions in the church. They've got strife in the church. They've got envyings in the church. They've got a division in the church. Now, let me ask you this morning, why in the world would I want to go to church with all that going on? So you can see here, it caused some problems. I personally don't believe the church was growing like it could because of this problem. So Paul's trying to correct the problem. So we find here, where did I stop reading? Anybody know where did I stop at? I stopped, I think, at verse number 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Right? So we find here that you're, again, verse number 8, guess what? You are going to get rewarded for your works. Now, let me say this. We always make this point. We do not work to get saved. We work because we are saved. And one of the great attributes about God is that God always rewards His children. You know the old saying, you're not going to outgive God? Not only are you not going to outgive God, you're not going to outlove God. You're not going to outmercy God. You're not going to outkind God. You're never going to outdo God in anything in life. And God said, and Paul says here, you know, we got to realize he's trying to say, we're all on the same team, he says here. It's not of Paul, it's not of Apollos, it's all of God. I mean, we do plant seed and we do water and we do strive to be fruitful for God, but it's God that always gives the increase. And Paul says, and we should work and we should plant and we should strive to do good things. And Paul says, and we will get rewarded for those works that we do. You will be rewarded for planting seed. You will be rewarded for watering that seed. You will be rewarded for loving and helping and reaching and testimony and reaching people and testifying and witnessing unto people and helping people. And Paul says, we are going to be rewarded for all that. And you look at verse number 8 here, you'll find here, it says, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Don't bank on getting rewards based on somebody else's labor. You get rewarded based on your own single labor in life. It goes on. He says in verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. And there's a lot that just in that first statement right there about when we labor, we're laboring with God here. And you are God's husbandry, you are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation. That's important. And another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Let me stop and say that verse number 10, Paul is saying here, the foundation of all that's built for God is extremely important. Because if you don't get the foundation right, nothing's going to be right. Just like building. I grew up in a carpenter, and my dad was a carpenter in construction, and I helped him a lot. And the worst part about building any building, whether it be a residential or whether it be a commercial building, the worst bore you out of your mind part of the process is getting the foundation put together. But it's probably the most important part of that building. You build a house and don't put a strong foundation under it, and you'll find out in a few years what's going to happen. You'll lose that house. The foundation is important. And Paul says here, and he talks a little bit about building a strong foundation. Now, I believe that Paul here was trying to tie it in with his church and with this group of babies that he's working with and trying to make them understand. We got to get a strong foundation built here. And Paul's telling this congregation of people, hey, you got to grow up. You got to grow. You got to mature. You got to start building a foundation around here or it's all going to fall down and it's all going to be worthless, Paul says. So you'll find here, and he admits here in verse number 10 that what's Paul's part in the process? He's the one that laid the foundation. Now they had a strong foundation to start with, and it says at the last part of verse number 10, I've underlined this, but let every man take heed, all right? Let every person, let every individual take heed how he buildeth, he says here, thereupon. You be careful how you build on the foundation that Paul established. May I say to us as a church this morning, we better be very careful how we build on the foundation that's been handed to us. You see, this morning, it's not up for me, and it's not my place this morning to try to go back and undo the foundations that's been passed down to us. I don't need to change the foundation. I need to build upon the foundation. A lot of churches this morning are erring in their way and they're headed down the wrong path because they're wanting to go back and rebuild the foundations. The foundations are fine, but we got too many men this morning trying to redo God's Word and trying to rework God's Word and trying to rebuild, and we don't need to rebuild, we just need to build on the foundation God's given to us. Look at verse number 11. For other foundation could no man lay than that is laid, which is, here's the foundation, Jesus Christ. I hate to burst everybody's bubble, but the foundation is not on praise and worship this morning. It's not on some rock and roll concert that they call Christian rock. It's not on a big production. It's not on lights and stages and smoke and bands and all that. Dear friend, the foundation this morning that's been handed to us is Jesus Christ, and no man has the right to change that foundation. Everybody with me so far? All right, let's move on. Now, verse number 12. If any man build upon his foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. All right? So he's talking about this foundation and building a work for God. All right? Now, Paul's not talking about how you go out and build your house. He's talking about he's talking about building for God, a work for God, a church for God, a ministry for God. And he uses an example here in verse number 12. He uses, there is a foundation, maybe one makes it out of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. All right? And then verse number 13, very, 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 very important that you understand verse 13. If I were pastoring a church today, if I were Brother Richardson or anybody else that ever pastored a church from day to day, I would memorize verse 13. All right, look at verse number 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. All right, now who's going to do the declaring? God's going to declare it. You see, this morning, the only person that will ever decide whether a ministry is successful or not is God. It is amazing to me how many preachers are trying to build a ministry to impress all their fellow brothers in Christ. Here's one of the biggest questions they always ask. How many you run it? Am I right? All right, let's move on. This verse 13 is going to annihilate that question. Look at it, if you would, verse number 13. All right, let's go back and read verse 13. If every man's work shall be made manifest, or I should say, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's, what's that next word? His what? His work. It's the ministry. It's what you do for God. And then look at this last little part. It says, shall try every man's work for what size it is. Is that what it says? What's that? Sort. But mankind is so carnal this morning, they think it's what size is it. Am I right? You see, this morning, God doesn't always declare victory based on size. It's going to blow your mind. God really doesn't care what size you are. God's more concerned of what sort is it. Now, the word sort, you need to underline it, and I'm not going to give you all the definition. I'm going to make you go back and look at it a little bit. You ought to study that verse. It basically means, and I'll give you a little bit of insight here, God's not looking, He's not saying, okay, Brother Richardson, how many are you running? Now, don't get me wrong, I think every preacher ought to strive to run more than what they are. Would you not agree? Our goal ought to be able to reach people, and we all understand that. And I'm not saying that we ought not strive to reach more. It ought to be more. But God's not as worried about the size as He is the sort. So what does it mean when God puts in His Word here, what sort it is? God wants to know what kind of foundation do you have. You see, this morning, there's a lot of church with size, but no substance. It's almost like Brother Richardson, he sells cotton candy at the, it'll be upcoming, what, next month, I guess, the Fall Festival. You talking about ripping people off financially, that's a ripoff. I'm just aggravating a little bit, all right? Cotton candy is what? What is cotton candy? It's just sugar and what? Just, you're buying a lot of air. You could get a cup and just run around and do that and try to eat that, and you're getting about the same thing except you don't have the sugar. There's not much substance there. It's amazing. I sat there and watched him put that and pour a little sugar in it, and I don't know how that air twirls around in it. It looks like a bunch of hair developing inside there, and he'll put it in there and wrap it around. All it is just fluff. And boy, we eat it like crazy. Not any substance there. You're just eating a lot of air and a little bit of sugar. And they put some color in it and make you think there's really something there. If you didn't put the color in it, you probably couldn't even see it. Will it do it without any of that color, that dye? Be kind of white looking, not real pretty and so forth. So they doctor it up, make it look real pretty. It sells more that way. How much you sell it for too, by the way? I'm just curious. $1. Wow. Paul is saying here. Look at verse 13, because it's made to me, it's just me, this verse right here is one of the most important verses when it comes to the ministry that you're ever going to be involved in. I want you to circle that verse, underline it, highlight it, memorize it. Every man's work shall be made manifest, Paul said here, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Now, every man's work will be tried. It will be tried by God. It will be tried honestly and fairly. God will try it with fire. And you'll find here in verse number 3, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And when God tries your works with fire, He's going to find out, does it have some substance, or is it just a bunch of cotton candy? Just fluff. There's a lot of preachers this morning with a lot of fluff. And what has destroyed our country this morning is fluff from preachers. I honestly believe it this morning. The reason why we've got what we've got, Doritos. You know what Doritos potato chips are? Did you see last week they came out with a new flavor? Did you see this? It's rainbow. For the gay movement. A lot of backlash, and I think they're going to pull it off the shelf, and hopefully, surely, there's enough Christians in this world to say, I don't think I'm going to go buy that. Too many churches, it's all fluff. No substance. Now we know this morning that you've got to have some substance. You've got to have a good foundation. What's that foundation? It is whom? It is Jesus Christ. Whatever happened, the church is getting away from putting Jesus Christ in the focal point. I do not know. Where did we derail? Where did we get off track in our nation where churches stop preaching Jesus Christ? I do not know. It's amazing what churches will do just to try to draw big crowds. I'm all for big crowds. I like big crowds. I like a full house and not an empty house. But I think there's a right way and a wrong way to do anything in God's work. You see, there's coming a day. Not only Brother Richardson, even though I'm using his example, because Paul here is going to address here preachers a little bit more. Because there was that division, you're either this group that likes Paul or this group that likes Apollos, and you're from Apollos and you're from Paul, and Paul said, man, you're all wrong here. You're not from Paul and you're not from Apollos, you're from God. And He's the foundation. And we got off the foundation. And the reason this morning that our country is crumbling is because our churches have crumbled. And the reason our churches have crumbled is because we've gotten away from God's Word and God's plan and the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. We've got to realize and understand this morning that it's not about us. It's all about Him. So what sort it is? You study that one. Underline that word sort. He's not looking at what size you have, and how big you are, and how popular you may be. God says, I want to try it with fire. I want to try your work, and I'll be fair, and I'll be just, and I'll try it with fire. And when I try it with fire, it's all going to settle out, and I'll find out, God says here, what sort it is. Study that one. Verse number 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Now, when it talks about abiding here, it's talking about after it's tried with fire here. And then it says in verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, I think we would all agree this morning that all of our works are not always going to come out successful. I'm going to be perfectly honest. There's a lot of things I've done in life that have no meaning whatsoever. Most of what we worry about has no importance whatsoever. Because when life comes to an end, the only thing that's going to matter is what you have done for God. And you see, God's going to decide whether or not you did it actually for Him or not. Because He's going to try your works, He's going to try my works, He's going to try it with fire. And there's going to be some that's going to burn up, and there's going to be some that abide. And it's God that decides which ones abide. He's the judging factor to your works and to my works. Verse 16, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple is of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. And again, verse number 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain, he says here. You'll find verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Basically Paul drives home this point that even the men of God, even the messengers of God, have to understand and realize that they proclaim the Word of God, but they're still sinners. And we have to understand sometimes too, and don't get me wrong, I think we ought to hold, like pastors and preachers and messengers of God at a high regard, but we have to also understand, but they're still human. And they may declare the message of God, but guess what? This is going to shock you. They struggle also in life. It's not like preachers are beyond sin or live outside of sin or not tempted and tested and tried like everybody else. Even the messengers of God who are called of God still struggle as well. We have to realize that even the messengers that God calls are human. Paul was human. Even Apollos, he was a dynamic speaker, and some people thought he could do no wrong, but guess what? He's still a sinner. And then you'll find in verse number 21 and verse number 23, therefore let no man glory in, what's the next word, in what? In men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come all are yours. And you're Christ, and Christ is God's. You see, this morning, basically in verse 21, 22, and 23, you'll find here that basically Paul is saying there's only one star in the church, and that's Jesus Christ. It's not Paul. Not Apollos. It's not the messenger. The only star is the foundation. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ. You see, this morning, we have to understand when it comes to the work of God, the Lord does not call men, I should say this morning, to design a plan. Rather, God calls men this morning to execute the plan He's already written. And it's all about Him. Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We pray that you bless our service this morning. We thank you for our lesson. We thank you for this chapter that we can find so important that, Lord, applies to each and every one of us, even though it was given in the day of Paul. But, Lord, how much it applies even today. And, Lord, I pray that you'll help us in our service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.